So good morning, everybody. Today we have Patricia. I've known Patricia for almost a few years now, I think 6 or 7 years. We worked together in Luna. She's based out of Singapore and she got 15 years of experience in within market research, and she's a consumer insight professional as well. I happened to get in touch with her for this very first podcast with Patricia. Patricia has been working with a lot of senior folks in improving the leadership qualities. And what better my podcast could start with, a mindset where everybody wants to become a leader and what guidance they can actually go with.
Hi, Ankesh. It's a real pleasure to be on this podcast, and what more, one of the first episodes to be start. So thank you very much for the opportunity. I hope that we can learn from each other about what leadership is in this particular episode.
Thank you so much, Patricia, for joining me on this very first podcast. And as we have been talking about a lot on leadership skills and leadership strengths, I think over a period of time, we have seen there are a lot of changes that has happened with us as well. We worked together in Luna back those days, and we know, what challenges people used to face. What you have actually seen over a period of time from the colleagues around the world, or you, whosoever you meet, what kind of basic challenges that they face?
So talking about leadership, I think that leadership has changed significantly over the several decades or so. And one of the things that I realized have really changed in the leadership landscape is the fact that there are less and less of a direct reporting lines and less of very clear reporting relationships within any organization. And this gets more complicated as the company becomes bigger, because there are just a lot of stakeholders. And increasingly, I'm realizing that there are more and more matrix kind of reporting systems within organizations. And that is one of the things that leaders are kind of facing, because the people and the requirements, the people that they have to make happy, are not just their direct reporting managers anymore. There's a lot of complex relationships that's going on within the organizations, outside the organizations, that leaders nowadays have to deal with.
That's rightly said, less to more complicated. So how do you see a leader should have that enhancement in himself when he's actually, stepping up to the corporate ladder?
How do we know whether a leader is enhancing himself to step up into the corporate leader, into the corporate role? Well, there are a lot of leaders that I have seen, many, many leaders, right? I know, like, traditionally we see people getting into roles that are managing roles because of their technical capabilities. A lot of times people are getting really, really great at what they're doing, then for them is like, what is the next level? And naturally, their leaders or their managers will say, that's the natural progression. You start to lead a team, you start to teach people your technical skills, you start to manage people and develop people. I think that there is a very different skill set between technicals and people management. So the leadership enhancement for a lot of people who are making this jump would be that we have to shift from technicals to people focused, and that is a very different change in mindset. And I see a lot of people really struggle with this because they are not taught how to do it. And the problem is that they a lot of people know that they are supposed to work on that way, but I think a lot of people also kind of miss the mark on how exactly they're supposed to do that.
That's right. I mean, and I think as a leader, fostering loyalty becomes evident. And for that, you really need to love your people. But again, giving them some technical skills, because I've been talking to a lot of resources or junior team who get into reporting into senior leadership, and they always tend to say that there's no learning curve into it. And I think somewhere they go restless. They don't speak much about to their leaders. What is the gap do you see between, you know, from a leader with a high designation reporting lines are like very junior, as you said, you know, less reportings and direct reportings are happening. What do you see the challenge with people nowadays, that they are something like they don't hear from their people directly, or are there other challenges which are making people the resources leaving the company and not giving them the brand loyalty that kind of which any company would expect from them?
That there are a few questions in that. So I think the loyalty part of things is kind of probably a separate topic. But then the facts about, you know, junior people, senior people, the way that they're hearing things. I don't know, from your experience, maybe Ankesh, you're kind of speaking from that you're really hearing an information from everywhere. You're kind of not just hearing information from your bosses. Is that what it is?
Exactly. A lot of bosses, they don't communicate well to the peers, except I think with the work. When you say, you know, you give them the technical skills, you talk about, you know, how things can be done. But is that the only thing that you need from your peers? Is that the only thing that you need from your team? I think people management is a different ballgame altogether. When you know your people about different aspects of other than work would help you, you know, become a better leader. What do you think is our basic challenges? Are we just focusing on the work and keeping ourselves on the work, or should we actually look at the people as a different perspective? After all, they're human beings. They're not AI robots that you give them a task and they complete it.
Yeah. That's a very good point, Ankesh. So you're absolutely right. That is the technical part. When all of us, when we get into a job, when we interview for it, we always ask for our technical skills. And a lot of times when we go into the role, we think that, hey, the technical skills is what we need to shine ourselves in. And I have seen so many times that there are very absolutely, you know, capable people who don't know how to sell themselves, or they don't know how to manage relationships, that they kind of lose out. So there's a saying that goes, you know, it's not the intelligent people who wins the game, right? That is the element of likability, the element of social intelligence that helps you win at work. And that social intelligence, that informal side of things is a lot, is what a lot of people are missing. They don't know how to get ahead. There are people who kind of scratch their heads and say, hey, I can complete something better than others and better than this or that person, but why is this and that person getting the promotion or getting the limelight or getting all the credits when I should be the one because I am so-called smarter? There are, right? Do you see this kind of thing happening in your workplace?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was about to ask you the next question is, you know, what is or how a leader can become favorable to their team? And I think that's, you probably actually gave me a bit of answer into the question itself. A lot of times when I see people talking to senior folks, they're kind of restricted by a lot of thoughts. You know, probably, should I talk to him? Should I tell my problem to him? Or probably he would scold me. There's always a pattern that I see with a lot of people when it comes to senior designations. And sometimes I really wonder that, you know, can I be a really favorable leader because I'm just hearing, say, A, B, C of their problems? Should I deal more into their personal life when it comes to, or they're giving me an opportunity to learn from, or probably, you know, give them some guidance on the personal life? My actual question as an executive coach, you can actually tell me whether it should be a 50-50% thing that I should deal more personally with them, I should deal more professionally with them, or is it like I just keep it just like professional? I just get my work done, I delight my senior folks, and I don't care about, you know, my people.
It's a good question. I think a lot of leaders, they knowing that they are leaders, they feel that there has to be kind of a boundary between themselves and the junior staff, and there is a reason to it, because you know there are certain things that as leaders you are not in a situation or in a position to divulge to teams, and in a way you need to have some kind of respect so that there is a kind of authority, slight or little, that that there is a reason for the juniors to kind of follow suit, right? I think there is, I don't know if there's a strict 50%, 60% or 70%. But what I do know that is our people watch the leaders very, very closely, right? Yeah, they watch us very, very closely. They watch us how we act, how we embody our own values, how we are transparent towards our own team members. And our own team members can sense everything, right? It's just like a child who can sense the parent. When the parent is in a good mood, in a bad mood, our team can also sense the same thing about us. And when it comes to caring, I think our team can also sense whether a leader really truly cares about the team. And when we want to talk about like loyalty, you know, having a team that thinks favorably of the leader, you know, generally good relationships, it really stems, I believe, from a sincerity and an intention from the leader. So if I'm a leader and I say, hey, I'm the leader, and therefore your working relationship and mine is that, you know, it is as official as that, and there is nothing more and nothing less, let's just talk business all the time, I think you can still get work done from the team. But then that belonging, the feeling of connectedness from the team member, and the willingness to do a little bit more, to take on more challenges for the team, ultimately, in the long term, that's not going to quite sustain itself, right? So we can act and you know, create a relationship and build a relationship based on formality, but that's hard to sustain. And I think in the long term, to be honest, I don't think that will serve the leader well. And I say that because ultimately, we just talked about like stakeholder management and how, you know, how complex organizations are nowadays. Even your team members have a say in your performance, right? So when the team, when your team doesn't feel like you are very connected, they will not exactly root for you when, you know, performance appraisals come around, for example.
Exactly. I mean, that's what you rightly said. I've seen a lot of cases where they actually impersonate their leaders. You know, whatever they do, they exactly do the same thing. I think in this case, it becomes easier for the leader to actually choose their, you know, next line of employee that they can, he can or she can be who they are. And for me, I think that's not right. That's completely not right, because if I really have to choose as a leader who can take my next level, I probably have to give them some kind of an, I probably just check him on assignments, just check him how technical skills he is with, and moreover, how he is with the people, because a leader is only made by his people. It's not that, you know, you step up because you've been given nonstop promotions. What other capabilities that you have derived? So if I really have to look who would be my next successor, what probably checklist I need to create?
So a leader, I mean, it's I think in a lot of cases for leaders, it is very natural to see who your best performing junior staff is and how we can actually groom that person into our position. And there's also this well-known theory, right? This well-known fact that when you are able to groom the next leader, it actually helps yourself, right? Because then it also opens up the opportunity for you to move up, because then your boss is not going to tell you that, hey, then who's going to replace you? We can't always be irreplaceable. And it's really great to look out for the next person to groom into our current position. So what to look out for, obviously, I think if we go back to what we mentioned just now about the complex relationships among people in the organization. When we promote somebody, that's that person doesn't necessarily just check off the list of, you know, the tasks that need to be done. I think increasingly, I see a lot of organizations, they try to, the changes of the business is just ongoing. There's always changes. We need people who are adaptable to things. We need people who are humble. We need people who are able to kind of foresee and be able to make stakeholders happy, be able to build strong relationships. These are the people who tend to be promoted. And even if it is not the direct manager who sees the quality in that team leader, a lot of people in the company could see that and advocate for that particular person. So if I were to kind of give an advice to, you know, generally any individual contributor, I would say that work on your personal branding, work on your own values, your own contribution, right? Know how you are value adding to the team. You will be able to justify to your leaders, you'll be justified to anyone in the company who has the decision-making skill to speak for you in the room, right? Behind closed doors, where you're not there. That is how you can try to strive for yourself to become the next leader. And for leaders who are looking out for people, I think that these are exactly the things that we should really be looking at as well.
Yeah. I think the best part is that, you know, adaptability and working on your values. I love that part because this is something, to be honest, I mean, I think I've been speaking to you for almost like quite some time now. And ever since I've been hearing from you is all about, you know, how we should adapt ourselves. It's not that, you know, we just adapt ourselves because somebody is asking us to do that. Where are our values in this case? And that's what I've learned from the conversations that I had so far, ever since we started working together. I think values makes the most of the difference. Now, considering Patricia, it's an environment where you cannot control everybody and each one of you in the team because half of the people might be working from home. How does a leader should actually ensure that, you know, the task is getting done, but at the same time, but there's a continuous engagement with the people that working from home by far. So probably, you know, somebody's living like in another city or in another state. How would they be able to communicate and ensure that, you know, things are getting done, but at the same time, the relationship is not getting impacted and they are able to judge or understand their people well?
Yeah, that's tough, right? So I mean, when before COVID, we would have been able to meet people face-to-face. Even hiring would have been done face-to-face most of the time. And I think that the integrity and the strength of a person's character also takes time for us to see, you know, through working on difficult projects, through working on tight timeline projects, you get to see whether you can trust somebody for delivering what he or she is supposed to deliver. And you put this person in a remote situation, you don't see this person, you know, and you can trust that this person gets work done. The challenge is, ever since COVID sets in, we have, not only do we have to interview people online, we also have to just, you know, base our judgment on whatever is online, and we have to work with this person online and trust that this person is going to do things. So, I mean, in the past, I have heard of people who, you know, kind of switch on the computer with their screen, with their team members and work together, you know, throughout the day, just having that online thing going on in the background in the laptop. I think that I've heard of that before, and I don't know whether you have, but it isn't exactly the best use of anyone, and it's kind of restrictive, and the kind of signal of mistrust that it sends to employees isn't exactly healthy. So I would say that there has to be a trust that goes on. We have to know who are the people that we're working with, right? And of course, if you're only knowing somebody for the first time, it's a new hire, it's natural that we should be spending more time to watch over what this person is doing right at the get-go, whether timelines are being met, whether this person knows exactly what to do. But in the long run, again, this is not going to be very helpful. It really takes like trust, and then allowing the person to do things and trusting that deadlines are going to be met, things are going to be done with good quality, and really working and collaborating around those goals rather than just watching over the shoulder what this person is doing every minute of the day. Yeah, it's another new challenge, right, for leaders nowadays.
And then I have a situation, and now I see need your coaching on this. So I got two people on board. Both are from the tech department. One of them is actually working from a different city, and the other guy is with me in the office. I've been given a task to complete a certain programming of a survey by the end of Friday. And eventually on Thursday, a day before when we really need to complete it, I got to know that my, the remote employee needs some kind of a, break, or probably he might need some leave and he has to go. The dependencies is now on just one person. How do I deal with the situation? Should I tell him that, you can actually go and I'll manage, or should I tell him that, get my things done and then go, or probably, as a third option, I can't give you the leave because you came in pretty late. So what is my role in this case as a leader, and how should I manage this?
What is the reason this person has to take leave the day before the deliverable is due?
He has to attend some family function or a family gathering.
Well, so what is the leadership philosophy that you come in with, right? And that goes back to the values that we talked about earlier. So if your philosophy is that, hey, you want to ensure that people come in to be able to be flexible, to do things as they wish, and you want to kind of build a level of trust, especially from the beginning. And trust is like this, right? Trust is always automatically given to people until they are broken. So for me, I would let this person go to attend whatever urgent family matter he or she has to, but I will kind of remember this, and I just want to give this person the benefit of doubt, because for all you know, this person really could be facing some kind of emergency, and empathy could be really, really crucial here. You don't know what that person is going through, and it could come back to you that, this person really needed that break, and you were that savior who helped him to kind of save a dying family member or whatever that could be, right? So I would say that I would give the benefit of doubt. And of course, if he or she truly, sincerely values my, whatever I have given this person, and comes back, double up efforts, I don't expect it, but possibly this person appreciates it and therefore overcompensates his time or overcompensates his efforts at work, then I would know that, okay, I probably have done this person a huge favor, and this philosophy would work for this person, right? This person is probably trustworthy. But if over like the next few months I see a repeated pattern like that, then I will start to question whether I should trust this person. So my philosophy is to be kind to people from the get-go. We don't know what people are going through, really. Especially in a remote situation, it's even harder to know what other people are going through. But at the same time, of course, business is business. We still have deliverables to send out. We still have resources, right, that are limited. So, yeah, I would still ensure that business is still done.
So we were actually talking about the incident that actually happened. I was sitting in the office and this guy actually called up and said, I needed a leave. And his manager said, I can't give you the leave right now because you should have come back a little earlier. Things, of course, happen on time and they're not controllable. But this is not the way that you would ask for a leave, that now I have a project in hand and you wanted to leave. I was like, he should have been subtle on that rather than saying, no, I can't give you a leave. He should have said, how much time do you need to go off? Can we control some kind of a, you know, create some kind of a mechanism? Because this is a task in hand that we need to complete as well. And I just got one other guy to, you know, work on it, and he's already occupied. Rather than saying no to the leave, he should have been, you know, a much better leader, a much better conversationalist, and could have ended with a resolution where both the parties would have been happy. That's what I believed in. And when I was hearing you out, I thought that, you know, whenever I make certain decisions, it is based on my experience. And specifically, I want my people to be happy. For me, client can only be happy if my internal stakeholders are happy. So I always believe that, you know, external stakeholders and internal stakeholders both are important. And to make them, you don't have to juggle around that, you know, let me make my external stakeholders happy. I don't care about my internal stakeholders. Because it's like, you know, demand and supply. If you have a demand, you don't have a supply, you would not be able to, you know, finish this up. If you have the demand, if you don't have the demand, you have ample amount of supply, it would still not work. So for me, both the customers are equally important. And that's exactly what you said. You know, be kind, understand the benefit of doubt thing. You have to be adaptable. You have to understand the requirements. You know, be just human. And that's when I realized that a lot of conversation we are having are just in line with what leadership changes needs to happen. You cannot be a leader with very firm attitude that, you know, this is who I am. I will be who I am. I will not change. I don't believe that, you know, somebody would come to my room to shake my hand and I will not go. I would not greet him. I would not show the gratitude. That's not what a leader is. Leader should go and thank every day to his team members that thank you for being there, because today I am because of you. That's who you made me today. And I wanted to improve myself, but also ensuring that I improve you as well. So there are a few things that let's work together. Might be, you know, we improve ourselves together. I just ensured things happen. And when things happen, you should take the credit first, not me, because it is you who have done it. That's what I've believed in. You were actually talking about it. You actually came up with all those values that I keep on inheriting in myself. If I make a mistake, then again, I, you know, re-go and rethink about those things. How can I make things better? And should I just say sorry and move on? Or should I say, let's sit down and make things better? Let's say, you know, these are a few things that we have done it. Let's say these are a few things where I was wrong, you were right, but let's make things better. And that's exactly how the relationship works. Either it is personal or professional, it doesn't matter. The relationship matters the most.
Exactly. That human element in it, right? Traditionally, we've known that leadership... Traditionally, you know, we respect authority, we respect people in positions. And increasingly, like what I mentioned, right? You can't depend on your position and your authority so much anymore. I have seen cases where your own direct reporting manager could go and ask your peers, your clients, your team, the people that are reporting into you, the appraisal and, you know, their comments and working relationship and experience working with you. So everybody kind of has a say in our own performance. It's not just, you know, just your boss anymore. So the mindset then needs to change that, hey, you know, this is my authority and the client needs this, therefore you cannot go on your leave. That's not quite going to cut it anymore. So the question that I have you, like Ankesh, because you came up with this scenario, right? And it's a real scenario and it's great to work on that. So how young or how old is, I mean, into the management is this particular person, leader?
So he recently got married. So, oh, leader. Leader is, I think, in his late 30s. And the employee is in his early 30s. I mean, age difference doesn't matter. But again, the fact is, you also mentioned in our previous conversation that we impersonate our leader. If I am doing certain things in an X way, I want people to do that in an X way as well. No, that's not a leader is. I mean, I would probably condemn that. If I am doing certain things in an X way, I am like old enough to not change myself. Whereas there is an X plus one, where there are elements to it, and I should learn from them. As a leader, even if I say, no, I have become leader because of my 21 years of experience, I may not know tons of stuff. When I see my Gen Z or Gen Alphas, they know a few things, you know, much better than I do. Just for an example, I don't know Instagram in depth, but Gen Zs know them, know it pretty well. They know exactly how to operate. They know exactly how to, you know, be on there. And when it comes to technology, they're far better resources than anybody else. So if I know this guy is going on a leave, but I know he knows his work, he knows how to, you know, if I would probably take 2 hours, he may get it done in 30 minutes. So let's give him that 1.5 hours to enjoy himself and come back. If he cannot, then I'll help him out. And that's how I would ensure that he stays happy, my work stays happy, and my client stays happy, and I keep getting the work from the client and keep involving him. So, you know, that's how it is. I mean, the second thing which I have been hearing from lot, not just recent thing, but people wanted to learn. They're not just restricted by the bookish knowledge that they get. You know, there are tons of materials on the internet. They go and learn and they wanted to explore, but those kind of opportunities don't pop up too often every now and then. But I think as a leader, and that's totally my belief, that's as a leader that you need to learn along with them, because if you wanted to give them certain tasks which are outdated, they would probably complete it in say 10, 15 minutes. There's no learning. They would probably end up leaving the organization, and they could be your valuable resources. So how do you ensure that, you know, things are getting in the place? It's the learning factor. It's the education that both of you need to get. He is doing something, you don't know that, then, you know, equip yourself with those same education, the same learnings as he do, so that you can talk to them in the same direction. At this level, I generally ensure that I get myself close to Gen Zs, because there's a lot of learning that I can actually do from them. And I've actually learned, I mean, just not Instagram. I've been on LinkedIn for years now, but until I think last couple of years, I actually know how I can use LinkedIn overall. And I think there's no harm if you can't learn through. And for me, I'm more of a practical kind of a guy. I mean, I learn from looking at things, I learn at looking at people, how they behave, more of an observationalist. That, you know, if this is a way of doing things, there could be another way as well. How about exploring that? So more of an exploration happens. And this is where, you know, I keep in improving on a lot of things. I am not 100% leader. I'm not a very good leader. I don't think that I've achieved everything. I am not 100% in any case. That's a learning gap. You know, as my hair grow gray, I'll probably be learning more.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the attitude, right? So we also touched on this. The world is changing so quickly. You know, there are a lot of outdated ways of doing things by now. And market research, you know, the industry that both of us are in, it is one of the most exposed industries to AI and technology changes in the world. I mean, think about it. Every 5 years, something happens to this industry, like huge revolution. From, you know, from face-to-face street intercept, you know, we changed into telephone. And then when we changed from telephone into online panel, that was also a huge revolution. And 5 years later, after that change, there was big data that came in that kind of threatened the entire market research. And then 5 years later, there was COVID, which encouraged the use of contactless methods, and face-to-face fell drastically. And then there was a lot of disruption over there. And then right now we are at the brink of something else. It's AI, right? So our industry is extremely exposed to all these world changes, and technology is just changing the way, the technicalities, the knowledge, the information that we have at hand. All these hard skills will keep changing, and our new generation will just pick them up faster than we do. And exactly. As we get older and as we become more experienced and we get into positions of leadership, that's when we need to let go of the technical things that we used to hold on to, and we have to learn to let that go and start trusting the people who are coming up, right? The people who are reporting into us. And that requires a mindset shift. That requires an attitude of openness, curiosity, and learning, and the ability to build those soft skills, the humbleness, and the ability to hold on to your own values to lead is the true mark of a leader. That is what I
Yeah.
believe in. And that is something that we can always learn. We don't always have to be at the edge of the technology changes. Of course, we need to know, right? But are we ever going to be as smart and quick? I think you and I probably, for us, age is catching up, right? But we can always continue to stay open. We can always continue to be curious. We can always have that heart to want to nurture our people and for them to give the best to us.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was talking to one of Gen Z yesterday, and I said, I'm pretty new in dropping off YouTube short. I learned a few things on the internet, but again, when you do a practical assessment or you're actually practically doing it, you feel a lot of challenges doing, putting up stuff. I was like, I did my first YouTube short, and then I forgot what caption do I need to write? What titles do I need to write? And should I just drop hashtags into it? I just need some traffic. I wanted to, grow on YouTube and stuff like that. And all of a sudden she came up and said, this is not the way you should do it. And I was like, I read everything. I saw your internet videos. I know how to do it. And then, oh, something I missed. And somebody is actually sitting next to me and telling me, you should have done it this way. I was, okay, let's do it that way. And then I see their traction building up, things are happening. So there's always a learning curve. I would not say that, again, as I said, I am not 100% accurate. I am not the right guy. I might not be the, right person, but there's always something that I'm keep myself updating. I'm learning. And when I learn, I let people also learn. So when I got to know a lot of people saying that, I don't know what is my career line in market research. Should I actually go? Every other industry is facing the same issues with the people. It is not just our own industry. It is a dynamic environment. Things are rapidly changing. As you said, within our industry, things from face-to-face to online and now contactless cookies are going off. And we are still approaching a lot of respondents. Technology is changing the world big time. And that's everywhere in the same, any other industry. People are getting laying off 2% to 11% because technology is taking care of them, or probably there could be other reasons as well. You still need to ensure that even if you have limited amount of people and you know exactly how good they can be, you have to respect their association with you within the company. It doesn't matter that they are giving their services and we are paying them. It is again mutually discussed on the commercial side. What is on the humanitarian side? You have been given money, which doesn't mean they are your servants because they're serving you. That's not the word anymore works. And that's what Gen Zs are teaching you. That's what I believe they know exactly. Just, I don't care. I mean, if I this is doesn't it's not working, I leave the organization, look for something else. They're like very independent. I love the jazzy part of it. I love the excitement into it. And then I sometimes think that, I can't miss them. I can't let them go off to somebody else. They are precious. You have to take care of them. And this is where your leadership skill would help you out. And when you actually mention, how to foster team loyalty into it, this is where, you being good, you being bad, you playing both the cop side works. Benefit of doubt is definitely there because you cannot let everything happen against you. Your business jeopardizes because you're too much into the people, and then people would take you for granted. That also should not happen. A leadership skill should cover all the values that you mentioned, all the characters that you mentioned. These should be there, including everything. And which is where I guess the podcast started, with the fact that I would interview you, but I think most of the part you interviewed me in the second part, so it's more of a talk than just a podcast thing. But yeah, I mean,
I
thank
mean,
you so
it's good
much.
because you are the host, and I like to hear where you come from, what you're really interested in, because you as a host, you would be attracting the people who are like you. And me knowing you, I will know how to kind of answer and formulate. I was kind of a little bit afraid in the first part of the podcast whether I'm just giving like general things and very high level kind of answers, very theory. I mean, everybody knows all that, right? But I think the whole point of a podcast is that we are able to go deeper and we can draw references from our real life examples and especially relevant to our own industry. And I think that is actually happening organically in this particular part of this podcast. And
Yeah.
that's actually awesome, right? And I wanted to comment on the loyalty part of things. that loyalty is also changing, right? We talked about, like, people in the past who are loyal to the company, they want to stay in the company for the rest of their lives. It's like our father's grandfather's era. And it's been changing so rapidly now. People just hop jobs. And to be honest, even nowadays, we are seeing companies just lay off people just like that, right? Google, our tech companies, Amazon, Facebook and all. Employees have stopped being loyal to companies for a while, but more and more, it's also the other way. Companies are stopped being have stopped being loyal to employees too. So it's to me, I just see like the world is changing in a way that everybody is just like, it's a free world. It's a free world, if values and compatibility they match, they match. If not, then bye bye. We don't have to kind of work together anymore. The kind of authority driven that kind of concept, it just doesn't work anymore. So when you talked about loyalty, right? How do we drive team loyalty? To me, I don't think any employee really cares so much about loyalty to the company. I think a lot of employees nowadays will think, what's in it for me? What's in it for me, right? If you can give me blah 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 that I look for, then yes, I will be loyal to you. Because I mean, at the end of the day, nowadays it's just like that.
Yeah, this exactly is happening. I mean, you're right bang on the target. The fact is, when you talk to these guys, they said, you're giving me the salary, I'm giving you my services. What else am I actually getting? For employer, it is like, I'm giving you the salary. That is what we have discussed. This is an X amount for you for doing Y work. That's how it is. Then there's nothing, beyond we are actually thinking. I remember my good old days with Luna. There were courses which are being awarded to you that, you can actually go and do a Microsoft certification. You can go and do this. You can do it. And that is on the cost of the company. It is not that, you have to pay out of your pocket. But I think today we got tons of courses and we just simply recommend that, you go and do that. The second thing which I feel the challenge, Patricia, most of the time that I see people as employers, they just fill in people. They don't understand what a headcount could be. Do you actually need so many people under your belt, or you just need, the right people under your belt? And when you actually fill in everybody, the mutual understanding gets finished. There's no mutual understanding anymore because they know they have come for a job. They know that they've been hired for a job. If there is no job, you'll probably lay them off. If there is a job, you'll probably keep them for a while. But when you hire the right resource, give them the right education, give him the right caliber, give him the right capacity, he can be your, go-to guy for the future trends, future challenges, future dynamics you would not know of. And not necessarily, if you don't have a plan. So if I don't have a plan that, I need 14 people or 15 people when I need to fill them up, you'll probably be ending up finishing your own goals of your company or vision of your company. I think it would not last for more than 2 years or 3 years at certain point of time. You'll finish that off because now you're filling up people just because current situation demands those many. But have you actually thought what it could be in the future? 2018, 2019, 2020, nobody knew that COVID would hit and everything would be at a stagnant position. And then a lot of people would be laid off. You could have actually retained them. You could have given them tasks. But again, things were not in the right direction. So people, as an employer, they stepped out and said, I have to cut down my cost. But then I love my earlier CEO, Mr. Patrick Comer. He ensured that even if he's cutting down 100 people, he placed them in different companies. And whosoever is not getting placed, he re-recruited them, onboarded them the next month. He is a kind of a leader that you should go after. He is a leader who understands what your people needs. He also ensured that, for a time being, if one salary cut being given, the next areas are coming into the next month. So everybody is happy. He's also managing his cash flow. The team is also ensuring that, they're not getting laid off. They're still in the company. And which is why Synth, or for that matter, Lucid, they've been, they have happy employees. I think they understand their employees well, which is why they are there. And this looks, I mean, when I look at people there who have been there for like 7-8 years and how happy they are, I love them. I mean, I love the kind of leadership qualities that the senior folks are having and how they are actually ensuring. So yeah, I mean, I think a leader is not somebody who would just got designations back after back through some means, probably performance or just by, you know, being with the boss every now and then, and has become a leader and would say that I'm a leader because I have been promoted to from manager to now VP level. And I guess that's not leader in himself. Leader has to be somebody who is like humble, as you mentioned. He needs to be adaptable. He creates strong relationship with everybody. He's being kind. He understands human tendencies. He understands human behaviors, not just consumer behaviors, because we have been from the market research industry, but consumer behavior actually is a good topic. We'll have something on that in the future talk show. But yeah, I mean, I think we covered almost everything that a leader needs to be. And specifically, I think Gen Zs who are actually becoming the startup monks these days, I think they should also understand, you know, what they actually need, because we learned from our own mistakes. And somewhere down the line, I think Gen Zs know exactly what they are doing and what they can become. I think this would be very helpful for them to understand what are current situations, where they step in, and how they can actually work things out for them in the future, because Gen Alphas are also coming for them. And they are much better than Gen Zs like us. We are millennials, and we know exactly where we lack. Gen Zs know where they lack. Gen Alphas are coming to eat them up.
Yeah, yeah. Gen Z. Yeah. So what's your experience with working with Gen Z so far?
Oh, I mean, I think last couple of years, I've been actually very closely working with them. They, the two things which I've actually noticed, they look after somebody who understands them the way they are. And then they also help them guide through this, you know, road when it's a bumpy ride. You know, somebody who's there to help them out, no matter what situations are, be it personal or professional. However, on the personal note, they're very much somebody who would not speak up unless and until you create that kind of a relationship with them. You be with them every now and then. And somehow I still believe that, you know, my Gen Z team has been an amazing group of people who knows exactly how to get things done. And when they know it, there's a lot of learning things that can happen with us as well. I know certain things can be done in the next way, as I mentioned earlier. You know, they know that can be done as an X plus one. So always hear them out. Always know exactly what perspective they're bringing onto the table and the board. I think they can be far better leaders in future. But as I said, what they know, alphas may know much better than they do. So everybody needs to be stepping up to be there. Let's not be the baby boomers anymore. We should, you know, go ahead with the technology. We should be somewhere along with the technology, with the changing revolution, whatever is happening. Just be evolved with that.
The Gen Zs are an upcoming group of people that I think are definitely going to be better than us. They are the first generation that starts to... They are the first generation born into the world of technology, right? Or people always been connected with each other. And that explains what you said about them having great solution, great tech knowledge. And that's what we can really bump... we can really kind of hang on to. And the other thing also is that Gen Zs are a bunch of people who are quite into self-development, I find.
Yes.
Yeah, they actually are really very thirsty for that, like what we are doing right now, right? And if they start at this age, can you imagine when they are our age? I honestly, truly think they will be much, much better leaders, and it would be really different, a different world.
I got to know about Skechers because of them. I never knew Skechers are such a bigger brand. I mean, to be honest, I've been into a lot of brand stuff, but when I saw people buying Skechers, I just wanted to, you know, be sure, you know, that I'm actually getting the right pair of shoes for myself. And I actually learned from them. And I see a lot of Gen Zs being in the store buying Skechers. I became inquisitive and wanted to see what is this all about, because I've heard for the brand, say probably for a couple of years only. And my first interaction with one of them saying that, you know, it is a very comfortable shoe that you can wear those sneakers every now and then. And then I got driven towards it. I think they know the world far better than we do, because you rightly said they're born into the technology. They know exactly what the technology is. The things which we don't know. I was actually struggling to set up the meetings today with Teams, and my daughters helped me out with that. And I was like, okay, I'm learning from them as well. Eventually, Microsoft didn't work and Zoom came into my rescue. But yeah, I mean, I think they're far better than us. They know exactly how things work and, you know, what can be those challenges that they can overcome. And they're coming up with solutions, Patricia. I mean, I've seen them come, they always come up with solution. It's like the problem is there, they know of it, and the solution's right here, just with a click of a button. You just speak to them and they'll give you the solution. Now, whether that solution is right or wrong is something that you probably have to check considering the business situation you're into. But yeah, I mean, open, vocal, and I love them.
Awesome, awesome, great, great.
Thank you so much, Patricia. So we had a conversation around a lot of leadership qualities, and it has been an engaging podcast so far. I think you guys have learned from it. And in case you have any direct question, details of Patricia are down under the description. You can actually reach out to her directly, or you can drop us your questions in the comments, or can reach out to me as well, and I can connect you with Patricia directly so that you can get your answers directly from her. Anything that you need, you know where to reach me out. I am right there with my numbers and available next to you. Have a blessed week ahead, a day ahead, and wherever you are, stay blessed. Thank you so much.